Parenting's hard, you don't know what to do. You're blaming your kids, but it's probably you. You love your kids and that you can trust. Just remember your kids don't suck.
Welcome to Your Kids Don't Suck, cultivating closeness with your children through non-coercive conscious parenting. We're your hosts, Kara Tedstone and Rathia Lee. Let's dive in and grow together.
Welcome back to Your Kids Don't Suck, where we are radical people living radical lives and very triggered about it. And thank you for joining us and helping us work on our triggers and help you at the same time, hopefully. Today, the theme is self-hatred. I'm sure you don't have any experience with that and you don't know what I'm talking about. But one of the main elements in parenting that's getting clearer and clearer to me is that we are helpless. We cannot control our children, though we try. And often when we can't control people in general, we hate ourselves because that is a strategy. That is a deep survival strategy that all children utilize. And I will say more about that. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Kara, you want to say anything?
Yeah, I was also thinking, Rathia, of your YouTube show, Advice from a Loving Bitch, because that's what it's about.
Yes.
And you guys should check it out. It's actually amazing. I know there's a million resources on the internet, and Rathia has 70,000 videos, and you might have seen them all already, but you should really, this one's like in the archives. I feel like this one's in the depths. It's older,
yeah.
You know, and it's so good. So I just wanted to like, what's the word?
Shout it out.
Shout it out or like plug it. Yeah, for
Advice from a Loving Bitch, and mm-hmm. I made it when my daughter was quite young, so she's in my videos as a little toddler and then a young girl, and she's so cute. She even is hosting one of the shows with me, so they are it's a 20 episode show about healing self-hatred, externalizing your self-hating voice, and there's all these assignments, but they're only like 10 minutes each, so it's not like a big commitment. Yeah, there's this really cute one where she's hosting with me and she has sunglasses on. She's talking the whole time. She's so funny. And we're whispering to each other and you can just feel our connection. It's really great.
That's the sweetest thing ever.
And she's in a lot of the videos because I use her as the inner child. Do you remember that? I show how when we're yelling at ourselves, we're yelling at our inner child. That's kind of what the whole series is about.
Yeah, and that's what this episode is about.
Right, because guess what? I'm healed, but I'm not totally healed.
Well, I was just going to say that. That was a long time ago, right? That was like what?
Yeah. So it was like 10 years ago?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
nine years ago? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about that. That's what we're going to get into is how... So Rathia made this wonderful series on how to heal self-hatred, and we're still talking about it 10 years later.
Right, because we actually are human, and what we get better at is using our tools when we need them.
Yeah.
In my language, our adult self gets stronger and stronger. The ability to be in the present time and read the present time gets better as the more you heal, the more you work on your childhood, the more you get support, the more you separate your past from your present, the more the present gets clear. But it doesn't stop the past from being terrible. That's what I also tell my clients. They're like, am I always going to feel this way? And I'm like, well, your present life will get brighter and stronger and clearer. You'll be more here for it. But your past will always be painful because it was. I mean, we can heal a lot of it. But it still was terrible. Like the things that were terrible were terrible. You're never going to make that be untrue.
It's so true. And I always like, I don't know, there's something reassuring about it, but there's also something so painful about it because inside of my own trauma, like when I get the flashbacks, when I'm like that, I'm in it again. I'm really in my trauma again. I'm in memory and I'm in pain. I mean, when am I not? Because I'm on here on this show every episode. People are like, Kara, you're always depressed. But seriously, I do come out of it and I have really great periods, long periods of, you know, times where I'm in my adult and I'm doing the things and I'm feeling good and I'm feeling positive and optimistic. But I'm having flashbacks. I'm having flashbacks about my brother, and his death specifically. That's always fun when it hits me and it's like, I'm right there again in the moment. It's cool.
Oh, sorry, Kara.
Yeah. And so I hate that because I'm always like, oh, I wish I could do something to my brain and get a lobotomy where when I have these flashbacks, it's like I don't want to erase the memory because, well, actually that might be nice, but I don't want to do that. But I wish I didn't, it didn't affect me. Like I wish it wasn't painful. And that's not, I don't think that's ever going to, I don't think it's ever going to be realistic or possible or even a good idea for me to have flashbacks of my brother dying and be like, oh yeah, no biggie.
Nope, that's probably never ever gonna happen.
But that sucks.
I know.
And it sucks that it happened, but that's what sucks. It sucks that it happened and now I have trauma flashbacks.
I'm so sorry, me
You
too.
know? Yeah. So
I know when people, I like when I'm in pain and someone will be like, "What do you need?" I'll say, "I need it to not have happened."
yeah, exactly. I need to go away.
Right. Yeah, and it's weird because there, I think that as we age, especially, well, I don't know about for people raised male, but as someone raised female, and going through menopause, you're not even hitting menopause yet. When you hit menopause, there's a whole, like, I don't know how to explain it, buffering that changes your
Like a
ability to,
hormonal.
yeah, you can't push through and buffer through things the same way without the estrogen. I don't know, things really, really change. And it's not like a bad thing ultimately, but it's a very difficult transition because of the world we live in. Because we live in a world where women we're not supported and we can't take a break and we can't slow down very easily. It's very, very difficult. But if you do slow down and you start to like change your whole like way that you treat yourself, you can become wise. You know, but it's very difficult. And I was gonna say the word acceptance. I think there's an opportunity to come into acceptance as we age. I'm not there right now, so I can't really say much about it, but I have been there. I have had pop, I call it popping out. Like there's times where I pop out and I feel love and I feel a lot of love holding me and
And
then
that it's all like worthwhile. That it's
yeah.
all worthwhile, that the healing matters and it's important work and that, you know, the outcome is why it's worth it. But when you're not in that, you know, people who are listening probably relate. It's like it's heavy, it's hard, and the light at the end is like so far away.
Yes, and also like we are having this podcast during a time where fascism is taking over, not just the US but the whole world. It's a very difficult time. But especially for me where I live, it's just so hard to get through the day right now.
Yeah, it's almost hard for me to even really, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about how it will directly impact my daughter, because she's brown and you know, we're in Canada, so it's like we are not in the US, but we are trending in a way that is very terrifying politically. And so yeah, it's really almost too much to like look at for me. I'm like, oh yeah, no, we'll be okay. I don't know, we'll deal with it.
Yeah,
But we're,
we kind of have to do that. I mean, what are we gonna do?
I mean, protect myself and yeah, I mean, we're talking about like, you were talking about self-hatred and control and helplessness and all of the things, right? And like, those are things I cannot control.
Right.
I cannot
You mean the
control it.
future?
Yeah, the future, racism,
Yeah.
all of the things. I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, my kid's gonna like she's gonna interface with those things.
Well, just like sexism, because my daughter is interfacing with it and it's a
Yeah.
shit show. It's terrible.
It's horrible.
So we're like really down
We
today.
are really down today, but
All
you know
right.
what? There is some other things that we're gonna say. So you have to stick around.
Okay,
People are
so.
like, beep, click, ending. Skip.
Swipe. Okay, so I feel like what's a value? I wanted to talk today about helplessness and how it relates to self-hatred, in case that was helpful for people. And oh, I just feel sad for a moment. I can't even. I'm trying to rally to like say important things, but I just feel really sad. So I'm just gonna be sad for a minute. I'm someone who's like always turned everything into lemonade. So
I
like,
was just thinking about that. That's what it feels like to do the Because it's not spiritual bypassing. We're talking about it. We're looking at it and we're pulling it apart. But you know, we just talked about some really bad shit. It's normal to have a feeling.
Yeah, I just feel really sad and tired.
Mm.
So I've always like made videos and like did writing and did all kinds of things to like make things redeemable. And I
yeah.
kind of,
Oh.
I'm less feeling able to do that right now. So what happens for me is my daughter is in pain at a level that I can't control. And then what happens is I feel really, really helpless. And then I blame myself. And then I feel really scared because I feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm not helping her enough. I'm not loving enough. I didn't do it right. I made all the wrong choices. I started attacking myself. And it's been coming, and I keep realizing that, like, oh, this is what I've always done. And this is what people do. I'm not like special that way. This is what we do when we feel helpless. We hate ourselves. And I think I've said this in other episodes that, you know, the children do that because they can't control their parents or externals, but they can control themselves. And children can hope that if they take on the belief systems of their caretakers and they try to change themselves, there's hope for change in their lives, to get their needs met, to be liked more, to be approved of, to be cared for. You know, that if you can do it better, you'll get your needs met. And that's like all children attack themselves to try to be better. That's what children do. That's why everyone's so fucked up. Because it becomes like a deep, deep, deep pattern. And so I've been realizing in the desire to save and control my daughter's well-being, I'm really attacking myself. And I've been starting this practice, which I keep forgetting, where every time I see her and I try to affect change and she resists me and then I feel helpless, I'm trying to remember to bring my focus into my own body and be like, I've been trying to say things. It's not your fault, which is very hard, very hard. I really do think it is my fault. I really think everything she's going through is my fault, which doesn't really make sense, but it really feels that way.
I completely relate.
It's not my fault. You're doing the best you can. You're trying very, very hard. You're not a bad person. You don't have to beat yourself up to think about this. You have resources, you have support, you know, you don't have to beat yourself up. And I'm trying to remember to do that every single time I feel helpless. But that's a really new, that's like trying to make a new pathway in my brain, because my default setting is to just beat the shit out of myself, which really is not helpful for my daughter at all. It's like, it's kind of a form of shutting down.
Yeah.
It's a form of impasse. It's a form of trying to block reality. And it's so, I've been thinking about how, like, I'm telling parents, like, you can't control your child. And so what is collaboration? And what are the other options besides control and top down, you know? And something Vivek always says is, when we're scared, we will automatically go back to authoritarianism. That's what we'll automatically do. Like, oh, I need to force this. That's the only option I can see to keep my kids safe and happy, is I have to force them. But so this, our podcast and all my videos and everything has been about, there's another way than using your power to force your kid to make you feel better. Right. But now I'm really up against it in a really new way, because she's a teenager and she's much further away from me than she ever was. I've never been this triggered as a parent. This is totally a different kind of trigger.
Yeah, it's so clear how the fear propels the self-hatred. The scarier things are, the more out of control things are, the more you internalize, I'm worthless, I'm a piece of shit, I'm helpless, but that's because I'm of all the decisions, the terrible decisions that I've made to land us here. That, like, in a way is a false illusion of all of the control that your body tells you have had in the past, when really things have just happened.
What do you mean? Can you say that again?
Like, you're in this place where some bad shit's happening. Bad shit's happening with your kid. You're very scared, worried. This is like the hardest place you've been in a long time. And your response is to like beat the hell out of yourself because it's your fault.
Yes.
So really, it's just interesting that like actually these things are just all completely out of your control. And the weird irony is that your system is like, no, you made this all happen.
That is what I feel. Can you help me look at that? I really feel like this is my fault that my kid's in so much pain.
Well, tell me why. Like, what makes you feel that way?
I don't know. I should have done it different. We've been in school this whole time, so my daughter has not been, she's been homeschooled all her life, and now she's in seventh grade because she wanted to go to public school, and so she's in public school. Maybe if I made her, maybe if I put her in school this whole time, she wouldn't be so overwhelmed by this new reality of these teachers and these children and this social dynamics and perfectionism and sexism and body image. And maybe she would have been more exposed to all of that in a slow way, that this wouldn't be so shocking to her system.
The question is like, what that part of you, what does it need? Does it need to be heard? Does it need to be validated? Because there's also, the other way of going in this dialogue of being like, well, let's look at that. Is that really true?
I don't know, whatever you think.
I don't know. I think, first of all, I think most parents can relate to this experience. Most parents have had at some point, or another, the experience of blaming themselves. I also think that there are people out there that will say to people who are in, a crisis like this, like, you can't blame yourself. Like, don't blame yourself. Just stop doing that. Like, just stop blaming yourself, Ruthia,
Yeah.
Do something, get your mind off of it, go to therapy.
Well, I am doing that. Well, maybe I should tell you all the more reasons why it's my fault.
Well, sure, but I also just wanted to validate that that doesn't
Yes.
work. Telling people to stop blaming themselves doesn't work
No.
because you have reasons, right? This part has deep beliefs around why that's true. So if I sat here, I mean, we can kind of like, I think maybe look at some of the reasons, like you said, maybe
Yeah.
tell all of them and work through it that way. But also, I think validation is so important.
Right, you can't just tell people to stop feeling what they're feeling.
You can't. You can't. And
But you
you
can't.
can't internally.
Right.
You can't just sit there and go, oh my God, shut the fuck up, inner critic. You're even if you do all this
Yeah.
parts work, like
Right.
I land there sometimes, right? Like I know my parts and I talk about it all day, every day. So, I'm pretty aware of the inner landscape, which is my mind. So like I haven't allowed inner critic, same type of stuff. I have like a lot of self-doubt, helplessness and like worthlessness. And if I sit there and go, Kara, shut up. Oh my God, get over it. Go make bread. Go for a run. Go do something else. Like it just, for me specifically, that's a form of invalidation and a form of suppression. So the part that has all of this stuff to say then just sort of like, gets angrier, gets more repressed.
That's a good point. I mean, right, we need, well, support, like getting support right now from you or my therapist. I mean, therapy does help me a lot. Also, my partner's amazing, absolutely amazing. He's just so loving and I can
I
tell.
wonder like what this part needs the most. Because maybe it just has a lot to say and it really wants to hear that it's not like crazy or it's not irrational. Maybe it does want to share, like you say, all those answers, like all those things.
I mean, it reminds me of what we said where we just want the trauma not to happen. Like, I just don't want my kid to be in pain. Like, she's lying to me, and she never used to lie to me. It's so scary that I can't make her tell me the truth. Like, I never thought that would happen. I thought if I did all these things, that she'd always feel like she could tell me everything. I mean, I don't judge her, I don't punish her, I don't withdraw my love. But she needs to feel herself separate from me. Like she really needs to. And it's very scary because I don't really know what's going on. I was having this long conversation with her last night, which was really good, but I could tell she was lying to me about a lot of things. I just know when she's lying. I can tell. And I said, I know you're lying. It's okay. I know that there's a reason you don't want to tell me. I was just trying to like I wonder if I even should have said, I know you're lying, because that's not very nice. But it triggers me so much. She was saying, I was saying, there's so many things you're not telling me. And she was like, no, I've told you, you pretty much know everything. I'm like, no, Tori, I don't. Can I ask you lots of questions? She said, yes. So I asked her lots of questions. She gave me a lot of different answers. I mean, that was a good conversation. I'm also trying to, I'm trying to acknowledge that she does also tell me a lot of things. I'm trying to see both. Anyway, I've never been separate from her like this. This is crazy. It's so scary. I hate it so much. I just want it
Yeah.
to not be happening.
Yeah.
But I feel like every other goddamn parent. Like, I want my, basically, I'm saying I want my kid to be different. This is what I want her to tell me the truth. I want her to not be in pain. I want her to be different than the way she is right now. I don't want her to suffer. I can't stand it. I literally can't stand it. It's excruciating for me. And I feel like it's my fault. Are we going in circles?
I don't think we're going in circles at all because I think you're just getting to the point where you're saying, well, I think it's all my fault.
All right, can I try to tell you more about why I think it's my fault?
Yes.
I don't really know. I just think I did something wrong. I just thought if I did it right, she wouldn't have to feel some of this pain. I thought that was the whole point of what we're doing. Because she'd have me and I didn't have me when I was her age. You know, I didn't have anybody to help me with anything, and she has me. You think she would lean on me? It's so confusing. Like, I just really thought this was gonna all come out really different. I thought the whole point of what we're doing is that our kids don't have to suffer. Isn't that the whole point? I thought that was the point of what we're doing, Kara.
I guess I want to say I wish that was the whole point.
Well, I guess I secretly thought that was the point. I thought the whole reason I suffered so much as a kid was because I had nobody to talk to. I don't know, the thought that I'm gonna have to go through a whole bunch more years of her suffering more, just really can't take it. I also think you should know that, like, in my trauma, I watched a lot of people suffer, like, as a child, and my siblings and other children, you know. So I have a feeling this is really old, too. This feeling of having to watch people suffer. My parents were suffering. I mean, they were tortured. They were tortured human beings. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just really like in a, I have like a, it's like a punch in my gut, this helplessness, like wanting so badly to help. Just desperate.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Like I feel it in my gut. I actually feel that. Like you must have been born into that. It must be so old. Like you just came into the world and almost like in a way your sort of purpose was to help everybody around you.
That's true. Yeah. Right, because I was born to these really abusive people who were started right away. Yeah, my mother would not bond with me. That was right away. I mean, I remember I sometimes have kind of memories of, you know, being a baby and like she was no, I couldn't find her energy. Like, couldn't
Oh, that's horrible.
find her. I don't know. It's really, I don't know how I do that. And that's the thing. I always said, I'm gonna do everything different. I'm gonna keep my kids safe. I'm gonna stay there. I'm gonna be there. We're gonna nurse. I'm gonna co-sleep. I'm going to do non-coercive collaborative parenting, and she won't have to go through that level of pain. That's the whole point. I thought that's the whole point. So I feel quite disappointed right now.
Yeah, and like I mean, it's so it's like so much grief.
I'm like, no wonder I can't make videos right now. I'm just like, I have nothing to say. Just don't do this because it's. But the truth is, it's. No matter what kind of parenting you do, you're gonna hit the place where you realize you can't control your kid. That's going, like, truly, You can't. Nobody can.
Well, you can hear, like, listeners, you can really hear that other part of Rithia come in, and it's like, oh, we do know that this is a false belief here that we're interfacing with. But and so, this other part is like, but isn't that the point, to have our kids not ever interact with real suffering and pain, because we do non-coercive collaborative parenting from day one, or from, for a long time, for years and years? Isn't that the point?
Well, also, like, what if she ends up being a drug addict? What if her just life goes terribly? Like, I'm so scared. I swear I'm gonna lose my shit. I can't. But I also feel like I'm not supposed to go to what ifs. That's not like a useful thing. What if this and what if that?
Well, but see, there's the maybe the block of like, okay, but what are the what ifs? Maybe the what ifs need to be asked.
Okay. I don't know. Like, what if it goes really badly? What if this all goes really badly?
I want you to know that it's hell for me to not be able to hug you right now.
You, honey, I feel your love.
I just wish I could hold you and give you a hug.
Oh, sad. Like, I feel like everything I did, like, my whole life was so that I could make her life better. Like, that was the whole point, you know? She said something yesterday, like, Mom, I've been happier like the last 2 days because she's been having such a hard time. And I was just like, this is so devastating. This is so devastating that she's had 2 days where she, I mean, oh my God, I just don't know what's happening. I feel like, oh, it's so depressing. I'm having this other thought right now, which is I suppressed all of my pain as a child. And she's just like living it out loud right now, you know? Maybe there's something good about that. I don't know.
I kind of am inclined to think that that's almost everything. I mean, I think we know for sure that, like, so much of our real crises points and serious places of, like, self-harm or, withdrawal from everyone around us and doing something terrible to numb how we really feel, is to avoid our pain, to avoid looking at it, to avoid sharing it with our people, because it's too much for them, because it's going to make us feel more isolated and alone and rejected and bad and ashamed. And she actually can just say to you, whatever the fuck, for the most part, for the very most part, like you say, I'm sure there are things she isn't sharing with you, which is a part of, the human experience. She has to hold some things.
I mean, she is telling me a lot of things, but she's not like crying or like processing it.
I want to, like, challenge you on that one.
Okay, please do.
Because you told me that she cried and cried and cried. I don't want to say too much, but there was a moment where you had,
Was a couple of weeks ago.
yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, but
It was like 3 weeks ago.
maybe your
Okay.
wanting for her to really feel in a certain way is also part of your helplessness.
Yeah.
But
Don't
trusting this process, I mean, how could you? How could you really just blindly, wholeheartedly trust it without the pain? Somebody said the other day, we're only as happy as our on most like our least happy child, or something like that,
That sounds really scary. Like, that's what I'm saying. What if her life doesn't go well? I'm gonna be miserable then
I
for
know. And I so agree. And I think partially, I think that's partially true. I think, well, I don't know. I mean, partially, or is it just true? Is it just a fact that, like, when our kids are unhappy, so are we? I think.
don't know. Will, Will sent me a message this morning that was so great, and this is what why we talk to Vivek all the time. But like he said, look, we have to trust your process. We have to trust your process, or we're nowhere. We can't trust that. Yes, she's in pain, but she's working on something. Her soul is working on something. We have to keep that in mind. That felt good to hear. But then I have a huge fear of like, I don't want to just trust her process if I'm supposed to be intervening in some very serious way. And I think maybe I could do both. Maybe I could trust her process and also keep trying to tune into what I need to be doing.
I mean, the thing is that's exactly what you've been doing since the beginning of all this. the whole time. There hasn't been a day where you haven't been, doing absolutely everything under the sun imaginable to get all of the supports for her and you,
Okay,
to
that's
manage this, to deal with it, and to move, it's not like you are turning a blind eye, withdrawing from all of it, numbing yourself, and going, let me hope for the best here and not really involve myself. Like the opposite, people, which is so important because non-coercive collaborative parenting is just that. It's being incredibly involved, but allowing your child autonomy. Will is right.
whole stupid thing. Damn it, now
Right.
she's autonomous.
Right.
Yeah.
That is the hardest part of like watching her grow up.
Yeah. I forgot about this part. Like, people talk about this part where you have to let go, but like, I not anticipate this part.
These years are horrible for so many people, and also hormonally, they're horrible.
I'm really getting why people hate teenagers. Not that I hate my daughter at all, but like, I understand now that people hate teenagers because suddenly they really can't control their kid, and suddenly their child is like making all these kind of risky decisions that they may or may not agree with, and they can't do a damn thing about it, and their kid
Yeah.
blocks them out. And like, I think
And
it's.
everything they try, it's like a brick wall. Like they keep trying and trying to, help and intervene, and it's like not successful.
Right. It's like a time of profound helplessness, which
Yeah,
is what we're
absolutely.
processing right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, I don't know. I mean, I find it so sad because like I think you realize that. Well, I did anyway, and I don't know why, but I realized that when I became a parent. Like it just hit me. It just hit me. Like I'm utterly, I have this kid now who's gonna like have all this bad shit happen because that's life. Life is hard. And there's not a fucking thing I can do about it.
About that part of it. I know,
Yeah.
but you think I thought I was going to be able to fix all that.
Like you had like a savior complex, not a savior complex, like
I
a
just thought if you have a
fantasy.
loving mother, she'll be there and you'll go through it all together because that's what I always wanted for myself that I never got. I thought that's what I'll do.
The thing is that's exactly what's happening. But I know the fear is telling you no, but you caused it.
Okay, yeah, that's the self-hatred. That's why this whole thing is about self-hatred. I do. Okay, here's another thing in my head about how I caused it. I have all this trauma in my past, and I've kept it so I've worked so hard to keep it away from her. But then I'm like,
Yeah.
maybe she's still getting all this secondhand trauma that I'm not even aware of. Maybe she's actually expressing some of my trauma.
Like indirectly, like it's not even something that you pushed her in consciously or
No,
but it's
become
all
unconscious.
right.
Yeah.
So literally that is I find that one so interesting because I've experienced that too, because I feel like I was pregnant and I was stressed out and I'm bereaved and I have trauma and I, somehow I just by gestating ha
Right.
transmitted,
Right.
transmitted epigenetically
Yeah.
all of this torturous shit to my daughter, and that's why, XYZ is happening. But inside of that is just such a massive amount of blame.
Yeah. Weird is it's kind of like, oh, well, then I shouldn't have incarnated. Like it kind of goes all the way back to like, well, I shouldn't have had a baby because as soon as she
Yeah.
had a baby, I was going to be passing some shit down.
She was doomed, yeah.
And I worked so hard to stop the cycle, which I did on a very practical level. But
Yeah.
maybe she's still getting it, or maybe she's going to be trying to work it out without even knowing what she's trying to work out. That's so challenging of a thought.
I think about that a lot too, and I wonder about it's such a dark thought, but it's like, should I not have had a child because I am so fucked up that, like, I've just ruined her life and she's barely even started it. Like, how is that
Just
fair?
by having a baby.
Yeah, just by deciding to have a kid. Like, why
Right.
would I do that to her? Because I'm too fucked up. Why would I do
Well,
it?
I know. Well, Vivek always says we're going to fuck up our kids. There's no way around it. We're going. We are. They're going to be born into it. Like, 'cause we're not perfect.
We
We're not.
come with like layered traumatic
Yeah,
histories. I mean, all of us
exactly.
do.
Right. So as soon as they're born, they're in it. This is so hard. Who thought of this whole system? This is such a hard system. I love my daughter so much. I just got a wave of how much I love her. She's such a strong, powerful person. She's so deeply smart and interesting. I really, really like her.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I mean,
Incredibly funny. Even in all of her suffering, she's hilarious. She's like super hilarious.
she's like a, I mean, they are like bright lights and spirits and energies that are like, the thing is despite this suffering, this immense suffering, just like looking at her, she's like, it's meant to be. Like, you are meant for each other.
Oh, thank you.
You're meant for each other. She needs you so much more than anything in all of your imperfections and in all of your self-hatred and blame. But you're right that, like, those things that come up, and me too, when I'm feeling deeply overwhelmed, it's because I'm in self-hatred. That's what it is. It's not like,
Yeah.
it's not anything else. It's actually not even overstimulation. It's, yes, partially that I haven't gotten my needs met, but it's mostly that I hate myself, that I'm not good enough.
That's so relieving when you just say it right out like that. Yeah. I do think my daughter, Tori, I think she's, I do think now that we're having this conversation that, I always say in all of our episodes that our children bring us right up to our deepest pains. That's what they do. This design that way somehow. I do think I have a bit of a God complex or like a Jesus complex, or what is it? A
Like a
savior
savior
complex.
fantasy,
Yeah,
yeah.
because I thought I would do it all right and then she, I would keep her from life's pain. That's like
Well,
a
it's like the worst, most humbling experience ever.
Yeah, that's being crushed right now as we
Yeah.
speak. That whole idea that I could keep her from from that is being crushed utterly. And it makes me it's so weird because right at this time in my life, my therapy clients, it's going so well. I've never felt so at ease and relaxed and close to my clients as I feel now. I wonder why that is. But I was going to say it's because I do feel being humbled and suffering does make you closer to other people.
I was just gonna, I mean, you kind of gave yourself the answer. You said, I wonder why that is. And then you said, it's because you wouldn't be able to do it if you didn't relate.
Know this. I feel so much more empathy for parents right now than I've ever felt before. I'm like,
Yeah.
I get it. It's just that the answer isn't more control and more punishment and more criticism,
Right.
or,
That's what we're all waiting for, right? We're waiting for you to then move out of that. Like listeners are like, okay, let's hear it, Rithia. Like, what is it for, right? Like, because you're right that, like, isn't it, the question is like, aren't we, as non-coercive collaborative parents, like, we're the best parents ever. You know, we're BPEs, right? Like, we're so connected to our kids. We have closeness, we have like collaboration, like we're in flow and we're in ease and we love it and we're relational. The fact is like, our kids will do fucked up shit that make us question every decision we've ever made. But it's still
right.
absolutely worth it.
Right. And I will have a different episode where I will be able to say that with more confidence.
Yeah. Well, you've said it a million times, and I think if it were me, you know, you'd be giving me all that too. I just also wanted to spend some time in that place of questioning because it's valid.
Yeah.
And if you're a parent doing all this, and like, listeners, if you're a parent and you're doing all this and your kid's in crisis and you're wondering if you should revert back to the authoritative, you know, put your hands on the controls and take away iPads and screen time and, you
Right.
know, not let them see their friends and lock their doors, that's
Well,
not the
I
answer.
keep wanting to force my kid into therapy. That's the big thing
Yeah.
I'm working on. Like, I actually wonder if I need to actually make that happen,
Yeah.
which would be very outside the box because I haven't made her do things, right? That would be very weird. But I keep thinking maybe there's a time where you do have to do that, and it's not coercion, it's love. I don't know. But the thing is, I can't force her to go to therapy and do therapeutic work. I can force her to go see someone, but that's not
Yeah.
going to make her open up and want to be in therapy.
That's right. And that, yeah, and
Oh.
as you know, that's such a huge part of it. I mean, I've told multiple parents. I've told tons of people when they sign up their kid to work with me. I mean, I don't work with so many kids anymore, but they're messaging me and they're like, my kid's reluctant, but like, I really would like them to see you. And I say, I don't see people who don't want to be here.
Right.
I don't actually work
But
with anyone who doesn't want to
I
come.
keep thinking it would, I could trick her into it. So she would meet the person and be like, oh, this seems good.
Well, I think you should talk to her about all of those things. I think you
Okay.
should say everything you just said. I mean, just those parts
Okay.
of the therapy,
Yeah.
and say, I actually was thinking about forcing you to go. I would
Okay.
really like to because I'm really
Yeah.
worried about you.
Okay, I'll tell her all that.
I think
That's
it's okay to, say all of those things. And also, like, I'm curious to see what she thinks. She's probably gonna say, shut up, mom, I'm not doing it.
Well, I have been saying I want to force you to therapy. I have
Oh,
been
you
saying,
have?
yeah.
Okay. What does she say?
Yeah. She'll go, well, I don't want to go. I'm not going. And then recently I said, do you know that if you see a therapist that you can tell them all these things and they're legally not allowed to tell me? You could tell them anything you
You're
want.
trying to sell it?
I am. And she's like,
What
I
did she?
know that. I know
Yeah.
that. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know you knew that. And then the other day she goes, she was saying, I'm like the best daughter ever. I'm like, you are. You're definitely the best daughter ever. And she's like, but I have a couple of problems. I'm like, you do have a couple of problems. She's like, what are they? And so I listed them, which I won't list right now. But one of them is that you won't go to therapy. Was like, the problem is that I can't force you into therapy and I'm really trying. I put that on the
What did
list.
she say?
She just smiled at me.
Yeah.
I'm starting to realize that I really need her to know that I'm tracking her. Like, even I'm like, that I, even if she's lying to me and even if I can't control what she's doing, that at least she knows I'm working very, very hard to stay, like, to stay in touch with what's going on.
I really feel that that translates into deep care and reverence. I don't think that translates into I'm a helicopter mom and my ego is driving this whole, like, I think that that just at the end of the day, knowing the relationship that you have with her and all the work that you've put in, I think she feels that as deep care and respect and regard and unconditional love.
I mean, Kara, it really depends on what day we're talking about. Because someday I could say it with like real love and in my adult, and other days I can say it as I'm pulling on her, like, please stop torturing me with your pain. I mean, you know what I mean? It's a day to day. I'm not
Yes,
just like a
but
wonderful, caring person all the time. I have all this terror that I want her to stop making me feel.
I know, but I do want to just acknowledge all of the years of work that you've put in, which means you come at it, you actually are on a different plane.
Right, then just mindlessly controlling.
You're on equal footing with her. You're being transparent. Yes, you're torturing me. Okay, I'm pulling on you, I'm pulling on you. But you're letting her know that it's not about her and she trusts you. Like she really, really deeply does trust
I
you.
don't know how much you trust me, Kara.
Rithia, I just want to shake you. I know she trusts you.
Then why isn't she telling me more?
Because she's having a process.
Hate it.
I
It's
know.
so hard.
I know.
I don't want to be outside of the process.
I know. I know. It's horrible. Why would it be designed like this that you have to like spend your whole life fucking trying to help her by modeling and having it with her, and then all of a sudden she turns around and is like, you're not in here anymore. You're out. You're actually kicked out.
Promise you I'll be here for you when you go through this, if you go through this. I
If
promise I will
something happens to you, I mean, I swear to God, I
help.
will.
You can talk to Will if something happens because he really gets it too. He
I know, but
he's going
it's,
through it
you
also.
know what I'll be doing? I will be moving in at that point. So.
Want to say one other thing that I think is really, I'm really feeling in this time with you right now, which is, you know, my mother abused me. My mother left me. My mother brainwashed me. She was a very unsafe person. I'm like, that's got to be part of everything that I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's probably a big part of why I'm in so much pain right now, because I'm going through like a big transition in our bond.
Well, it's abandonment partially,
Yeah.
which we talked about before when we were saying about how so much of this is just rejection and helplessness and abandonment. So if you have like a mother wound,
Yes.
it's like you're reenacting that here. Like, but
I
I've
think
given you
I am.
everything. And what about when you were a baby and you gave her everything? I mean, you smiled and you played and you were
I
perfect and you were the perfect child and you were so good. You were so good. You were so good. And
it didn't work.
it didn't work.
Right, so I think I'm back there somehow.
So that's what it is. It's like self-hatred and blame.
I did everything. I'm doing everything I thought I was supposed to do, and it's
Yeah.
failing. That's it, Kara. That's really it. I'm really back in my trauma. And
Yeah.
I have a pocket here which I don't want to have. You know what I'm saying? Talk about helplessness. You know what I'm saying? This pocket was exposed that whole entire time.
This has been Your Kids Don't Suck. You can find me, Kara Tedstone, at www.karatedstonetherapy.com and on Instagram at Kara Tedstone Therapy. On my website, you'll find links to recommended readings and a link to my Reparenting with Mindfulness workbook, available now on Amazon.
You can find me, Rathia Lee, at www.rathia.com. That's RYTHEA.com. There you'll find published books, articles, and music and parenting videos. Also, I'm on TikTok at Rathia Lee, on Instagram at Rathia Lee. You can book parent mentoring sessions with me through my website. And also, I have an Advice from a Loving Bitch YouTube show that helps people heal self-hatred, and that's rathia.com/advice. It is important and essential to put our voices, Rathia and Kara, in a context. We are two white, cisgendered, straight, middle-class women living with financial and societal privilege. Because of this, our perspectives are limited and do not reflect the realities of all of our listeners. This podcast will feature guests with expertise around conscious parenting who differ in race, class, abilities, sexual orientation, and histories from us, to broaden the conversation and reflect the lives of as many people as possible. 25% of the proceeds of this podcast will go to creators of color who have been mentors and influences on our work and in our growth as parents.
If you like our show, please subscribe and stay tuned for more conscious parenting advice and insights. And check out our link tree at linktr.ee/yourkidsdontsuck to donate and connect with us.